From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Indeed. Happy New Year. Those of you in some parts of the world in the Eastern and Central time zones, next hour, of course, though you folks in the Mountain time zone, we'll wish you a Happy New Year. Later tonight, holiday open lines, all things are welcome. Can you believe it? We are going now, as of January 3rd, into 20 years that I've been doing this program. Where did the time go? My gosh. Anyways, I want to thank my staff and you for propping me up for these 19 years, and let's just keep on going. Here's what's happening. Large wildfires outside Denver destroyed at least 580 homes, forced the evacuation of 30,000 people, sent six people to the hospital as fire crews prepare to further assess the destruction. Reports from the scene described a ferocious blaze that became more devastating because the area is bone dry and it spread with the help of 105-mile-an-hour wind gusts, which are dying down. That is right in the area, by the way, where we, Tom and I, go to do our Beyond Belief television shows every month, and we're supposed to be out there in a couple weeks, so we'll see what happens. The World Health Organization chief says that he is optimistic that the coronavirus pandemic will be defeated in 2022, provided countries work together to contain its spread. The U.S. and the U.K. and the other major economies could be on the brink of over-vaccinating people in the fight against COVID, according to experts. Israeli officials have already announced their intentions to embark on dishing out another round of booster jabs, meaning both the U.S. and U.K. will eventually feel and face the pressure to follow suit, even though both nations have insisted there are no plans to administer four doses yet. But scientists argue that rolling out vaccines every 3 to 4 months simply isn't doable and may not even be necessary because of Omicron, which some believe will speed up the process and consign days of high sky hospitalization and death figures and put that into history. The Chinese Communist government is claiming that the United States will pay an unbearable cost for its aiding of Taiwan, the latest muscular rhetoric from Beijing over the U.S. policy toward the disputed territory. Charles R. Smith, our expert on such matters, with us. Charles, is this rhetoric or is this serious?
It's just more of the bluster. Your daily threat from Beijing has arrived. I guess that would make a record 100,095 for the year 2021. So, hey, it's just what they do every week, every day, every hour. They seem to threaten everybody.
Are you concerned that somebody's going to do something a little stupid and foolish here?
Oh, well, we're always concerned about stupidity. That's the general nature of things, and especially when you're talking about an inexperienced armed force that is not used to dealing with other armed forces locally, such as the Chinese. We've seen them run their airplanes into ours. That occurred with one of their fighter jets before. And, of course, we've also seen recently things such as, you know, firing water cannons on the Philippine supply ships. So don't be too surprised if there is an accident, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
A real good case in point, you know, the Americans' submarine, the Connecticut, that supposedly hit a underwater obstacle and is currently up in Washington State being refitted for, you know, a brand new sonar. Interestingly, at about the same time that the Connecticut was headed back after being damaged, a Chinese ballistic missile, Jin-class submarine, sailed up the Taiwan Strait on the surface, headed to its main port up north to be worked on. So that raised a bunch of questions with all of us. have we already had an incident, perhaps below the waves, between one of our top-line attack submarines and, of course, one of their top-of-the-line ballistic missile submarines?
Good point. Keep your eye on the story for us, Charles, and Happy New Year to you. The adorable Betty White, a comedy icon known for roles in Golden Girls and The Mary Tyler Moore Show, has died. She was 99. The cause of death still not clear. As if things aren't going enough tough things for the future space colonists, experts now say that they are likely to face food troubles if they land on other planets, which might turn them into cannibals. That's what they're saying. A professor of astrobiology at Edinburgh University is saying that. My gosh, let's hope that's not true. Let's go to Kevin Randall for his weekly UFO report. Kevin, Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, George.
Thank you, sir. Cannibals, cannibals in space. Unbelievable, huh?
I think I read that in a science fiction story once.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got for us?
Well, I want to tell you, I join you from the far future of 2022. While you remain stuck in 2021. I have no insights to offer from the future other than to buy low and sell high.
All right, that's good.
But about an hour ago, I came across a story of NASA had been going to consult with theologians about the discovery of intelligent life in space and how the religious communities would react to that. And it turns out that's not exactly the story, because what NASA had done a number of years ago was consult with theologians about the discovery of life on other planets, which is not quite the same thing, and how it would impact religious communities here on Earth. I do have some interesting UFO sightings from the past, however.
Let's hear it.
I have talked about the MADAR network run by Fran Ridge. This is, of course, a system of UFO detectors that use a variety of sensors to record an anomaly that is suggestive of a UFO passing. Ridge then searches for visual UFO events that correspond with the detection. This does, of course, supply two chains of evidence, and I have suggested to him that the detector operator try to get pictures. I have friends take pictures of it, and then we have a third chain of evidence that would be created that way. On January 10th of last year, meaning 2021, the witness and a friend were in the woods near his home in Festus, Missouri. The friend spotted a silver disc-shaped craft. He used his camera to zoom in and started taking pictures. The UFO hovered for about 5 minutes, providing the witnesses with an opportunity to make careful observations and rule out a number of mundane explanations. The craft suddenly moved at an unbelievable speed, left, then right, and finally up before disappearing. The witness said that it moved at a speed faster than anything they had ever seen. The MADAR node in St. Louis recorded two anomalies, first with the sighting in Festus, Missouri, within 10 minutes and about 30 miles away. The sighting was at 9 a.m., and the anomaly recorded at 9:11. The MUFON investigator looked at the case and concluded that it was an unknown UAV, which, of course, we all know is a UFO. The importance here is that there were two witnesses, photographs, and a detection. It makes a very strong case. Ridge noted that it was an MSV, which means a multiple sensor verification. I'll try to have more information about this on my blog here in the near future. There was a second MADAR case in Missouri, this one from Lee's Summit on January 17th of 2021. The witness saw an object described as about the length of a football field, black with angular features that were almost stealth-like. It was similar to a tall building laying along its side, flat on the bottom, and coming to a point at the front. It was at about 300 feet above the ground, descended to 100 feet to a point above the tree line. The witness tried to make a video, but by the time he got his cell phone out, the object was no longer in view. And although the camera failure here is a matter of time, I have noticed that there have been reports of a mechanical or electronic failures of these cameras in the past. That's something I'm going to look into to see how common that might be. The MADAR node in Independence, Missouri, was triggered at 1:39 p.m., or about 21 minutes after the sighting. Given the direction of travel and the estimated speed, it would have passed within 1,650 feet of the MADAR node about 13 minutes later, which is close to a match. This, too, was a multiple sensor verification. Here, again, is a visual sighting that has a MADAR report showing something passing near the node. And finally, on December 4th, in Lake City, Florida, about noon, the witness reported watching a plane as it flew over. Traveling with the airplane, above or behind the airplane and serving back and forth was a tic-tac-shaped object, which is why I mention it. In an instant, the UFO was gone, but the airplane continued flying on its original heading. And that covers it for the week and now for the year, George.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Up next, an expert on prophecy and Nostradamus, John Hogue, joins us. Get ready, next on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, this is Christian Wilde with MyHeartBook.com, hoping you're having a great New Year's Eve, and God bless everybody in the year 2022 and beyond.
Thank you, Christian. What a great researcher he is. John Hogue with us. John writes on the subjects of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism, prophecy. He is definitely considered a world authority on Nostradamus, a great-selling author as well. His work has brought him international fame and acclaim. He has been published in 18-plus languages, has appeared on more than 700 radio and television shows all over the planet. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. If I had a drum roll, John, I'd be beating it for you. Welcome back.
Thank you. We add, maybe we could add Wagner's Götterdämmerung.
That's right. Exactly. I sure hope 2022 is going to be a better year for all of us. What do you think?
Well, it's how we define better in a time of revolution and emergency. We're in the fourth turning, deep into it. Only this one's the biggest one because it's planetary. So, you know, a lot of people keep asking me, are we going to go back to normal? Certainly, I am very hopeful that I've already been writing that Omicron's mutations show that it's actually the collapse of the genome of this plague. But as it disappears, the hysteria and reaction to how to stop it from spreading, sequestering everybody, is gotten even more extreme than before.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's hysterical, but it's more than that, and this is an important thing for everybody to look out for the year 2022. I'm seeing it was interesting that one of the leaders of Davos introduced Xi Jinping of China and the Davos globalists met economists. And long story short, even though it was a TV version, they weren't actually physically invited there. The man kind of defined, leader of the Davos situation, kind of defined Xi Jinping as an example for the whole world to follow. Which brings into the whole struggle of ideas that has been going on since this Thucydides trap of a new empire rising and the old empire reacting, the United States. And it's really kind of a war, it's a cultural war between a totalitarian, more totalitarian than democratic, but also capitalist communist system that now the Chinese have against our democratic system in the United States. And in this year, it's already happened, actually. It's the nature in which, what concerns me is that the people of Davos are using China as an example, but they're going to be, and they have been, far worse in the way they've attacked personal freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid, they are making certain prophecies of Marxist-Leninists like Marx and Lenin in the guise of capitalism. They're actually fulfilling a lot of what Lenin said in his book about capitalism and Marx in Das Kapital said, making them fulfilled prophets. Lenin, the creator of the Bolshevik Revolution, talk about there would come a time when capitalism would globally become crystallized as a monopolist capitalism, that it would kind of take, and also Marx said that, in that kind of capitalism, you would see where debt was nationalized, where the state served the monopolies of small elites that had most of the money, where in that case where debt is nationalized, people who work for a living suffer more and more and are exploited, while the debt is actually used by the elites to make profits. But where they've really gone crazy with the situation is this $5 to $6 trillion that's been added to the system. You know, if you could count a second for each dollar that you have, I think the estimate is that for a billion, you'd maybe go back into the 1830s, back in time, if you went back to time in time. If you actually tried to count a trillion, it would get you back 30,000 years BC.
Jeez.
So I've got that slightly wrong, but that's the gist of it. That the amount, and you multiply that by four or five times as we've done it, we have flooded into the system an artificially induced hyperinflation cycle. Now, Turkey is going to be the first to go down. Oddly enough, because the president of Turkey has no idea of what economy is. He's basically gave people in Turkey a chance to keep their savings in lira or keep it in U.S. dollars. And, of course, by putting it in dollars, it made the lira inflate. And you can't have purchasing power. So, you know, watch Turkey. Turkey is the future of what's coming in the next 2 or 3 years with the crisis of capitalism, which I've been talking about. But capitalism is actually becoming more Marxist. It's becoming a state control situation. And
that's not good, John.
Long story short, the emergencies are happening. Emergencies are part and parcel of this roaring 2020s. It's the next 20 years of this. I mean, this is a time where humanity really must change to survive, even in situations regarding people who are debating. Well, for instance, what will happen is real problems will be turned into excuses to make huge profits and exploit the situation. I mean, long story short, what 2021 showed us, in the year that I define by the phrase, everybody shut up, before the year of 2020 was everybody shut down.
Quickly, too.
Yeah, and so with everybody shutting up, like no criticism, no alternative voices about jabs and things like that, everybody deplatformed. I can hardly get anybody on my Facebook pages anymore. I've been deplatformed, shadow banned.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's I used to get thousands of people, now I get 25 likes that about this show tonight. So, you know, I'm finding my other ways to go underground and find people, but I'm also being attacked like so many other people are. And the thing is that the exploitation of real emergencies, a pandemic really happened. But what is amazing, remarkable about this is when the first vaccine was created, Sputnik V in Russia, and the Russians were not going to hold on to their proprietary values and keep it secret so that they can make a profit, they shared the proprietary values so that more developed countries, the source pool of many of the variants, could get the vaccine in the billions of shots. Now, Pfizer had the opposite view. In fact, the politicians were offered billions of shots of Sputnik V in the United States when it came out. They won't have it. And what happened is Pfizer and Moderna, because they are proprietary, they basically, long story short, they chose profits over human lives.
And they've made big profits, John.
Huge profits. And now, as you said in your opening, this is quite true. I've often debated that it's almost as if they want to perpetuate this suffering of the human race, keep everybody shut down, everybody afraid, everybody masked, everybody in kind of a Orwellian state.
Yep.
And I tell you this, it is a stress test on all of your American citizens I'm speaking to, because, frankly, you're a lucky nation. You have a Bill of Rights. You're not Australia. You're not Austria shut down. You're not all the European nations and Britain because they don't have a Bill of Rights.
Well, what's beginning to happen too, John, is states and countries are beginning to realize you can't suppress people. They'll go nuts. So they're starting to back off a little bit. John, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about your prophecies for the year ahead.
Hi, this is Andrea Perrin, author of House of Darkness, House of Light, and I hope you are having a fantastic New Year's Eve.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with John Hogue. John, I believe this is your third year on our New Year's Eve prophecy shows, right?
It is indeed, and it's getting, as you were saying, 20 years of you being on Coast.
That's amazing. So what are some of the things you've said in the, our first one was 2020.
Yes.
What did you talk about in those days?
Well, we talked first about how 2020 was the year that I called everybody shut down. And it looked at all the stuff that was going on with the elections. It also, I think we talked a bit about how it would, you know, that the a lot of things that I was warning at the end of 2020 have sort of happened, you know, with Biden astrologically showing himself to have been a worse choice than Trump. And I don't think, a lot back then a lot of people were upset about me saying that. I don't think there's so many upset now.
Let me say this, too. You have no political agenda. I've known you for 20 years. You have no political agenda. You say it the way you feel it, prophetically, and that's the way it is.
That's the way it is, and it's a, you know, the way I look at the future is if I'm looking about 300 years into the future back to this place of the past, where politics is no longer run by ego, because 300 years from now, they're looking back and saying, how do we survive the 2020s?
Exactly.
And the answer to that actually is that only when things get this hyped up do people pull out of their old habits and transform. The thing that we're seeing it right now in something that's incredibly dangerous in 2021, and that is the potential of three Cuban Missile Crisis events. Two that most people know about, the one that's imminently almost happening with Ukraine. I would say, from just looking at things without an agenda, that it always amazes me how, like the referee throwing the yellow flag, the mainstream media, who are in the pocket of the military-industrial complex, will never show you the footage of Ukraine advancing on the Donbass separatist line, half their army, and firing hundreds of U.S.-made rockets indiscriminately into Donetsk and Lugansk. I've seen the footage, killing people, civilians. You'll be told that the Russians are 179,000 Russians are on the border, and you'll see satellite.
I think I even reported that.
Yeah, but you know what? It was only 10,000, and they just left. And people are saying, "Oh, this is a Putin doing some gesture to for the talks that are coming next week." No, that's if you understand the situation, not with all that agenda before your blind eyes. It's something they regularly do on their border, and anyone who's in the military understands that, especially in the Russian winters and stuff, that you do exercises on your frontiers. You don't keep troops there. The tanks, the equipment, the troops will wear down and lose morale. So it's a constant flow from the main bases, which, by the way, are 200 kilometers from the border. The other thing you won't hear is that Ukraine signed to the Minsk agreements to peacefully talk directly with the leaders of the breakaway republics to sort out what is a Ukrainian problem. The Russians have done something very dramatic in the last month. They have done something that actually happened. This is kind of a karmic echo, because this Ukrainian thing is our first of the three potential things that are coming. some good and some bad news first, and then some good news.
I want to All right.
What has happened is a karmic echo to Cuban Missile Crisis. If you want to understand, I mean, what I try to do is help people understand at least what the other side sees. Not that I'm agreeing with it. It's amazing how people react very negatively to that. But I'm going to do it anyway because...
Yeah, you're not a pro-Putin guy. You're just calling it the way you see it.
Just simply saying that if you want to understand where the Russians are right now and the karmic echo concept, which I've played before over the last 20 years, is where you get an Alice in a looking glass moment where something that happened like the Cuban Missile Crisis or the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964 with a Texan Democratic president. In 2003, it's the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein didn't have, just like the Gulf of Tonkin was probably firing at lightning in the distance.
Yeah, that got us into Vietnam, didn't it?
You got a jungle quagmire, and then the karmic echo, the reverse image, is a desert quagmire. Two Texas presidents, one's a Democrat, the other's a Republican. You see this kind of karmic echo, this looking glass reverse image is also happening with the Cuban Missile Crisis with us.
Did Nostradamus kind of talk about stuff like that in his quatrains?
Well, yes, very much. I'll get to that in a moment about NATO. He actually named it in his anagrams. But we'll get to that in a moment, and it may be even the date for February of 2022. We'll get to that. But before we get to that, the thing is that you've got... President Kennedy and the U.S., when they discovered there were missiles 90 miles off the U.S. coast in Cuba, that was an existential threat to the United States. It was putting the U.S. back up against the wall. 5 minutes, 20 million people could be killed by missiles. So Khrushchev could say, like we're saying about Ukraine right now, that, oh, well, you know, it's sovereign freedom. If the Cubans want to put missiles, our missiles there, if we want to be there. And Kennedy just swept that aside and said, look, if you don't pull the missiles out, we'll destroy them and take Cuba back. This, you are threatening our existence. What NATO has done since the promise was made never to take a step further east in 1990, this inexorable advance of NATO gobbling up what was the Warsaw Pact, alliances, which all dissolved after the end of the war. They understood that there was no reason for being for the Warsaw Pact. Unfortunately, NATO, which has no reason for being, is trying to create a reason for being, calling itself a defense organization, when in fact it is advancing on the territories of Russia right up to the most dangerous open place for the Russians, and they're scene with Ukraine is our scene with Cuba. They've had enough, and they mean it. You know, equally with the fellow who was talking earlier on your show about China and Taiwan, a similar situation. That's the other crisis.
Well, and the other thing with the Cuban Missile Crisis, John, and the truth be known to everyone, we had missiles in Turkey right next to Russia.
That's right. And if it wasn't for a deal that was made by Robert Kennedy, the head of the Justice Department, with Dobrynin of the Soviet Union, the ambassador, it's an ironic situation because the Cuban Missile Crisis has defined my life. I had a very powerful premonition of just almost 8 years old when all that happened.
Really?
Yeah, and I saw it coming. I write about it in my book, Nostradamus Premonitions of 9/11. The three premonitions I've had, very powerful ones in my life, defining, changing life things. And it so happened that Saturday, the 27th, was when Robert Kennedy and Dobrynin met. And Kennedy said, look, and I cannot tell you more firmly, we must have an answer tomorrow, Sunday. And, you know, the implication being we're going to war.
Yep. The generals were all over that thing.
Now, guess what? 29th of October was my 8th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And so the reason why all these years, 60 years later, because it's October of this year is the anniversary. 60 years later, we have now had the karmic echo. Now, the good news, this... I think some people in the U.S. government are actually listening to to the Russians and understanding that we need to talk this. The Russians set out last week or two an amazing, breathtaking, kind of completely redefining the security reality of NATO, America, and Russia in a way where everybody backs off from this encroachment, this stuff that's been happening, to something that might actually bring peace to the earth.
Peace? And, what's that mean, John?
Well, what it means is there's two things that are going to happen. Now, you know, there are a lot of forces, the military-industrial complex being one of them, that, you know, they're kind of represented by the cowboy diplomacy of Victoria Nuland, who is the architect of a lot of things that went south in 2014 in Ukraine that has started this mess. Now she's the third most important person in the State Department. There's a lot of people who don't want this to happen. You have, frankly, here's the thing I get from my contacts in Russia and Beijing is that maybe Americans would be surprised to hear this, but they do not want a weak president. You know, all this stuff on Fox and other things where they're saying, oh, you know, they want a weak, they can exploit it. No, that is completely wrong. They feel it's a very destabilizing situation to have such a weak president in the United States right now. They respected Reagan. And by God, guess what Reagan did? He's strong president. Whether you agree with him or not, Reagan ended the Cold War because they could deal with him. Now, Bush is making all the right grumblings and rumblings to do this meeting. The Russians stated again that, you know, if you're going to sanction us, it doesn't matter. It was very strong stuff. Now it's going to take years. But what could happen, what I hope will happen by February, which I'm getting now to the NATO prophecy of Nostradamus, century 2 for February, quatrain 22 for the year 2022. I'm hopeful that we're backing off because, frankly, there may be enough people in the United States government that understands that this is going to nuclear war if you cross certain lines. The Russians mean it, just like Kennedy meant it, and Khrushchev listened and backed off. It's time now in the karmic echo for NATO to back off from the Russian frontiers and then talk out something that makes... See, there was a treaty that they made, that they broke, NATO, with Russia in 1997, which basically the premise was anyone's security advantage at the disadvantage of another is wrong.
And didn't Khrushchev tell Kennedy, you got to give me something to take back to my generals? I got to.
That was the missiles in
Turkey. In Turkey, yeah.
But what Khrushchev didn't understand, his greatest mistake was being born a Ukrainian, Russian, Soviet citizen. You know, people in Russia have been invaded all the time, tens of millions being killed. So having a very powerful, dangerous empire on your border is something they deal with. But America has been the big power in the Western Hemisphere. It has had no... Mexico has not threatened its existence. Canada doesn't threaten its existence. And so... Khrushchev logically thought, well, if they have missiles in Turkey, why can't we have missiles 90 miles off their border in Cuba? And he immediately saw his mistake is that he never estimated the Americans have never had a threatening neighbor in their whole existence. So their DNA was against it. And so he was the shock of the way the Americans were already going to the stage of ultimatums when that happened. Well, it took Russia a little longer because Russia as an older country, has been through a lot more. We're a young country. There's a lot of advantages to being a young country, but there's also some immaturity issues. And now the Russians have put their foot down. And when they do that, we better listen. And same with China. That fellow that was on earlier talking about China.
Yep.
I would only say that
Charlie Smith.
16 Pentagon war games showed us absolutely losing. And the reason is logistics. We would be taking our fleets thousands of miles away from their bases into the backyard of China. Taiwan Strait. And frankly, the argument is that Xi has in Beijing is the same argument that Abraham Lincoln was threatening Victoria of England and the British Empire with their support of the Confederate States. These states are in the Union. We're going to go to war to bring them back. And Taiwan is part of the Union of China. And in 1979, we signed to that, the United States. So the other thing that's happening, it's so unfortunate to see our nation doing, is how we've become a dishonest broker. We bugged out of treaties. We JCPOA, the ABM, the INF treaty, we all bugged out of that, starting this whole new arms race, just unilaterally, just left. That makes us not an honest broker. And that's also very destabilizing in the world. So rather than what Sean Hannity, who I used to debate with in Fox, what Sean Hannity's saying and stuff like that is bunk. The Chinese and the Russians do not like us being weak and having weak leaders. They don't know how, there's no way then to talk to them, and that makes
they want to deal with the one strong person, don't they, John?
Strong American president.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, John. We'll come back and talk more and take calls as well and talk more about the prophecies of Nostradamus and yours.